I hope none of you will need Dramamine before we get through with our lesson this morning.
I remember going on a Navy cruise from Honolulu over to Maui, about 6 hours in length. And I remember that the first thing they did with everybody coming on board was to hand us 2 Dramamine pills and say, take them. They handed us water and we took them, and we were glad that we did, because up and down and up and down, after a while it gets just a little old. If you get seasick this morning, I trust that you will be okay by tonight, all right? In Caesarea, Paul and the other prisoners were delivered to a centurion named Julius. They boarded a ship heading toward Andromitium, and it was intending to stop by the ports in Asia, and then they set sail. At Sidon, as you look at your map, you're going up the coast, the eastern end of the Mediterranean from Caesarea, and you're going up just a little ways, and they're going to go to Sidon. At Sidon, Paul was permitted to go to his friends so that they might provide for his needs. Because of strong winds, they sailed north of Cyprus. If you look at that map, the purple line is what is this particular journey. And instead of going directly over west and staying south of Cyprus, because of the winds, they went up between the mainland and Cyprus, sailing along the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia, and they came to Myra. Now, they're going to change boats in Myra, referred to as ships, but somehow these weren't exactly like what we would think of as ships today. It is estimated that the one they would get onto, where they were going to have all the excitement for the next 2 weeks, was about 180 feet in length, which is good size for that day, but not really good size compared to some of our aircraft carriers, okay? I was on a ship, I believe it was 900 and some feet long, and it was a modest size ship. I wasn't sick, by the way, but I did have the Dramamine. All right. They changed ships in Myra, where they got on one that's going to sail to Italy. A contrary wind. Oh, that's just what a sailing ship wants. A contrary wind forced them to sail across to Crete and along its sheltered coast off of Salmone. After passing Salmone with difficulty, they came to Fair Havens. If you find Crete, you'll find Fair Havens right in basically the center at the bottom, near the city of Lycia, where Paul advised them against continuing the trip because sailing at this time of year was dangerous. However, because the harbor at Fair Havens was an exposed harbor, it was not suitable for spending the winter. Therefore, the pilot, the ship owner, and most of the ship's crew wanted to go on to what looks like Phoenix, but it's the same as our Phoenix, where they would spend the winter. Unfortunately for them, they're not going to make it to Phoenix. So when the wind from the south was gentle, the wind is from the south, and it was gentle, they thought they could make it safely to Phoenix, and they set sail and sailed close to the shore of Crete, but soon encountered a strong wind, hurricane force, which blew them out to sea. As you can see, there's a kind of a wavy line. They're going up and down in that Mediterranean and Adriatic area. Many days later, after experiencing considerable difficulty, all hope that they would be saved was gone. And, of course, Paul reminded everyone that they should have listened to him. In our next message, we will see that the ship will eventually run aground on an island, but that there will be no loss of life. But remember something now. Within the will of God, everything they experienced was God's will for everybody on board that ship at that time. Can you imagine 14 days on a ship? They can't tell where they are. They can't tell whether they're going to run aground. They don't know anything. They don't expect to live through it. Up and down and around. Must have been quite an experience. So I ask you, within the will of God, what have you experienced in the past 2 weeks? I'm sure some of you have experienced some wonderful things, and some of you might have experienced some difficult things, all within the will of God for your life. And God, of course, knows exactly what he is doing. Well, as we go on, we see that Paul is going to end up going to Sidon in verses 1 through 3. And as they prepared to sail to Italy, Paul and other prisoners were delivered to a centurion named Julius. And when it was determined that we should sail unto Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band, and is transitioning from Paul's trials to his being taken as a prisoner to Rome. It's understood in the sense of then or now. When it was determined that we should sail into Italy, suggests when a decision was reached or when it was decided that we should sail away to Italy in the Greek text, that we should sail into Italy functions as the subject of was determined. They delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion. They, who are not identified, but are apparently those responsible for guarding Paul, were handing over or turning over Paul and some other prisoners to a centurion named Julius. Named is with a name or by name. And of course, we've seen it already. The centurion's name was Julius. Do you remember what a centurion was? Well, he was a commander in charge of 100 soldiers. Of Augustus' band is of Augustus' cohort. It was an imperial regiment of soldiers. Now, Augustus is Augustus Caesar, and a band is a tenth of a legion or a cohort. 6,000 men, soldiers, would comprise a legion. 600 would comprise a band or a cohort. Now, Augustus Caesar had died in AD 14, which would have been 20 years or more, probably 25, maybe even 30. But this imperial regiment was called by this honorary title. A band or cohort would contain about 600 men. So they boarded a ship and headed toward Andromitium, which was intending to stop by the ports in Asia, meaning in Asia Minor, and they set sail. And entering into a ship of Andromedium, we launched, meaning we set sail to the coast, or intending to set sail to the coasts of Asia. One Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us. And of course, transitions to what happens next in the sense of then or now. Entering a ship into a ship of Adramyttium, that's where its destination was going to be, it's used in conjunction with launched, indicating time or a fact in addition to launched. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of launched. If showing time, it's understood in the sense of after we boarded an Andromedian ship. Andromedium was a seaport in Mysia on the eastern side of the Aegean Sea in what today is western Turkey. Now, if you look where that would be off of the top of your map, I'm guessing. It's, at least it was when I had it on my computer this morning. We launched. We put out to sea. We set sail. And the use of we tells us that Luke, who wrote Acts, was on board the ship. Meaning to sail by the coasts of Asia is used in conjunction with launched, and it indicates a fact in addition to launched. Its tense indicates that its action was ongoing and occurring at the same time as the action of launched. And it's intended, or it's understood in the sense of and were intending to sail to the places, meaning to the regions or to the districts along Asia, indicating the ship's destination. It suggests to sail to the ports along the coast of Asia Minor. One Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, being with us, is used in conjunction with launched, indicating another fact in addition to launched. It's understood in the sense of Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica, was with us. Now, if you think back, you may remember that Aristarchus was one of the men chosen by the churches of Macedonia, that's where Thessalonica was located, to accompany Paul to Jerusalem with the collection for the impoverished saints in Jerusalem. Assuming that he was the same man, and that's an assumption which we believe to be correct, he had previously been seized in Ephesus by the rioters in Acts 19. And he may also be the same man who is described in Colossians 4:10 as Paul's fellow prisoner during Paul's first Roman imprisonment. Was he on board this ship as a prisoner? Perhaps, and my guess is, it would seem so. At Sidon, Julius permitted Paul to go to his friends so that they might provide for his needs. And the next day, okay, they left, and you can see they didn't go very far, but in one day, they touched at Sidon. That means they stopped there. Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. The next day, of course, you know what that means. It's the next day. We touched down at Sidon as we put in at, we put into, we landed at, or we put into port at Sidon. Why does it say we touched down at Sidon? Because they were sailing on the high seas. And when they landed, it pictures them as going down. Okay, they got off the high sea and landed in a port. So there they are in Sidon. Courteously suggests kindly. Julius was the man in charge of the prisoners. He treated Paul kindly. How did he do this? By giving Paul liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. Now, he may have been accompanied by a soldier. I don't really know. It doesn't say that. But it's my guess that that would have been the case. Julius allowed or permitted Paul to go to his friends to obtain care. He might not have had a bath for months. We have no way of knowing. We don't know what kind of care he might have needed to be cared for. Maybe he needed some clothing. We don't know. Meaning to his friends, and care have been placed in positions of emphasis in the Greek text. It reads literally, Julius permitted Paul to thee, meaning to his friends, to go, care to obtain. Then we go on in verses 4 through 6, and we come to Myra, and you can see where that one is as you look at that purple line on the map. Because of strong winds within the will of God, the winds were there. God's the one that sent those winds. They sailed north of Cyprus instead of going south of Cyprus, between Cyprus and the mainland. And as you look at that purple line, you can see they went way out of their way, but they had no choice. The wind was too strong for them to sail across the Mediterranean directly. Because of strong winds within the will of God, they sailed north of Cyprus, between Cyprus and the mainland. You know, I saw recently, within the last week or so, tornadoes tearing across a lot of Illinois. One of the places where these tornadoes tore across Illinois is where I used to pastor. You understand, within the will of God, those tornadoes were there. It isn't something that God didn't control. Why does God allow these things? Well, you'll have to ask him that. We have some ideas from the scriptures, but we don't control these things. Oh, I know the Democrats want to control the weather. Everything they've tried to control has been messed up, as you can see. Because of strong winds within the will of God, they sailed north of Cyprus, between Cyprus and the mainland. When we had launched from thence, that's from Sidon, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And from thence, meaning from there, meaning from Sidon, and continues their travel toward Rome. When we had launched is used in conjunction with sailed, indicating time. And its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of sailed. It's understood in the sense of after we set sail or after we put out to sea. We, as I've already said, suggest that Luke was present. We sailed under Cyprus. It means we sailed under the shelter of or under the lee of Cyprus. This was done in such a way that the island would protect the ship from the wind. They sailed on the north side of Cyprus. It was much farther than sailing directly toward Asia on the south side of Cyprus. But this was done because of the wind, but it took more time. Because the winds were contrary means because the winds were against us. Now, maybe you've got experience in a sailboat. I've never been in a sailboat, but somehow that wind is going to have a definite effect on how a sailboat operates out in the middle of a big body of water. But remember, although the winds were contrary, this was all within the will of God. They sailed across the open sea along the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia and came to Myra. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And continuing the narrative, when we had sailed over the Sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, it's used in conjunction with came, indicating time, and its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of came. It's understood in the sense of after we sailed through or across the open sea along Cilicia and Pamphylia. Cilicia and Pamphylia are territories on the north side of the Mediterranean Sea, north of Cyprus. We came to Myra, a city of Lycia. We arrived at, we put into, we landed at, or we put into port at Myra in Lycia. It's located on the north shore of the Mediterranean Sea. In Myra, they boarded a ship from Alexandria, that would be from Alexandria in Egypt, which was sailing to Italy. And there the centurion, meaning in Myra, he found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. And there means, and in Myra, in the Greek text, the centurion is the subject of put. He's in charge, remember, of these prisoners. And by the way, the centurion will also be in charge of this ship. He's over the owner and over the captain of the ship, because it is a grain ship, and grain ships were in service to the Roman government. He found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy. It's used in conjunction with put, indicating a fact in addition to put or time, and its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of put. It's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to put, but if showing time, it's understood in the sense of and after he, after the centurion, found there, meaning in Myra, an Alexandrian ship which was sailing into Italy. That's what he needed. So, within the will of God, they're all going to get on board this ship and head toward Italy. And he put us therein. The centurion put us, meaning Paul, and the prisoners, on board it, on board this Alexandrian ship, which was destined for Italy. And then we see Snidus, within the will of God, a contrary wind made sailing difficult. So they sailed across to Crete and along its sheltered coast off Salmone. And when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Snidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmone. And transitions to the next statement in the sense of now or then, when we had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against Snidus, is used in conjunction with sailed in the phrase sailed under Crete, indicates time or a fact in addition to sailed. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of sailed. When we were scarce come over against Snidus has been translated as showing time, and it's understood in the sense of after we arrived or after we came with difficulty off Snidus. If showing a fact in addition to sailed, it's understood in the sense of we arrived or we came with difficulty off Snidus. The wind is a problem. Had sailed slowly many days is also used in conjunction with came over, indicating time, cause, or a fact in addition to were come over. Its tense indicates that its action was ongoing and occurring at the same time as the action of cur, came over. Many days has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, for many days sailing slowly. Now, we don't know how many is, but it's more than they would have expected it to be. sailing slowly. The wind is a problem when you're sailing into it or somewhat against it. If showing time, it's understood in the sense of while we were sailing slowly for many days. If showing cause, it's understood in the sense of because we were sailing slowly for many days. But if showing effect in addition to work come over, it's understood in the sense of we were sailing slowly for many days. You understand it, whichever way it would have been translated. Scarce is with difficulty. Were come over against snidus is came or arrived opposite snidus. But it does not mean that they put into port there. Snidus is the name of a peninsula and a city with the same name located at the extreme southwest end of the peninsula of Asia Minor. And it projects between the islands of Kos and Rhodes. The wind not suffering us is used in conjunction with sailed, indicating cause. Its tense indicates ongoing action occurring at the same time as the action of sailed. It's understood in the sense of because the wind was not permitting or was not allowing us to go farther. It indicates that their intent had been to sail west across the Aegean Sea to an island. Rather than stopping at Snidus, and due to a strong northwest wind, we sailed under Crete over against Salmone. Crete's an island, of course. We sailed under Crete means we sailed under the lee or under the shelter of, meaning on the south side of, Crete, in order that the island might protect us from the wind. Over against Salmone is off Salmone, which was a high ridge on the northeast corner of Crete. And then we come to Fair Havens. After passing Salmone with difficulty, they came to Fair Havens near the city of Lycia, and hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens. Nigh unto was the city of Lycia. And, continues the thought, hardly means with difficulty. Passing it is used in conjunction with came, indicating time, a fact in addition to came, and its tense indicates that its action was ongoing and occurring at the same time as the action of came. And if showing time, it's understood in the sense of while we were coasting along or sailing along the coast of it, meaning the coast of Crete. If showing effect in addition to came, it's understood in the sense of we were coasting along or we were sailing along the coast of it, meaning along the coast of Crete. Came to a place which is called the Fair Havens. Is it came unto a certain place called Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lycia, which means near to which was a city, Lycia. They entered the harbor at Fair Havens. Now, much time had been lost on the voyage, and sailing was becoming dangerous because the fast is referring to the Day of Atonement, was already past. Remember that this was all within the will of God. All of it. For everybody on board that ship. And there were 276 people on it. Now, when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them. Paul warns them, don't go any farther. But they did, within the will of God. Now transitions to the next thought in the sense of and, so or then. When much time was spent is used in conjunction with admonished, indicating time or cause, and its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of admonished. If showing time, it's understood in the sense of after considerable time had passed or had elapsed. If showing cause, it's understood in the sense of because or since considerable time had passed or had elapsed. When sailing was now dangerous, is used in conjunction with admonished, indicating time or cause. Its tense indicates that its action was ongoing and occurring at the same time as the action of admonished. And if showing time, it's understood in the sense of while sailing, while the voyage, or while the navigation was now, or was by this time, or was already dangerous or unsafe. If showing cause, it's understood in the sense of because sailing, because the voyage, or because navigation was now, meaning was by this time, or was already dangerous or unsafe. Because the fast was now already past, is because, meaning since, or inasmuch as the fast also, or even the fast, had already, meaning by this time, gone by, or passed by, or was already over. It's getting late for sailing at that time in history in the Mediterranean. The fast refers to the Day of Atonement. It was observed on the 10th day of the 7th month, which corresponds to our present day late September or early October. Paul admonished them, as Paul was urging, Paul was recommending, or Paul was strongly advising. And his advice is recorded in verse 10. Paul was advising them against continuing the trip, and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only to the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Sometimes you may find yourself in a position where you are giving good advice and it's not being taken, okay? Like you might advise your children, don't do this, or you might get hurt. And of course, you know that pretty soon, when you turn your back, they're going to be doing it, and all of a sudden there's going to be a wah, somebody just got hurt. One of yours that you just warned, and you're going to say, I told you so. But you didn't listen to me. Within the will of God, you've had that experience, I'm sure. I've had it a few times. He said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. And he said unto them is simply saying to them. It's used in conjunction with admonished, indicates how he admonished them. A fact in addition to admonished or time. And its tense indicates that its action was ongoing and occurring at the same time as the action of admonished. If showing how he admonished them, it's understood in a sense of by saying. If showing a fact in addition to admonished, it's understood in the sense of and was saying. If showing time, it's understood in the sense of while saying. All of these things are called participles in Greek, and they can be taken in a variety of ways. So what I'm doing is giving you a Greek lesson without telling you exactly what I'm doing, all right? You're going to be Greek experts by the time we get to the end of the book of Acts. What Paul said is, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Sirs is simply men. I perceive suggests I notice, I see, or I understand that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, is that the voyage is about to be or will certainly be with hardship, meaning with disaster and with damage and much loss, not only of the lading and ship, indicates that the hurt and damage will be of the lading, meaning of the cargo, Oh, that's what it is. Cargo. And of the ship, that we understand, but also of our lives. Where but also introduces something else that will experience hurt and damage. It is our lives. The ship and its cargo might be a total loss, and all 276 people on board the ship might die. Of course, this could not include Paul, because Jesus had told him that he would testify about him, meaning about Jesus in Rome. And at this time, however, there was no guarantee that the other 275 people on board the ship would survive. Within the will of God. Don't forget, God's will is going to be carried out. The centurion believed the pilot and owner of the ship more than he believed what Paul had said. Now, it might not be too much longer before the centurion concludes, "I should have listened to you, Paul," but it's too late by then. Nevertheless, introduces a statement in mild contrast to Paul's recommendation. It's understood in the sense of but. The centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And it suggests that the centurion was persuaded by the ship master, the person who was responsible for the management of the ship, and by the ship owner. Apparently he was there too, rather than by the things which were being spoken by Paul. Or we could translate it, the centurion took the advice of the shipmaster and of the ship owner rather than the advice which was being spoken by Paul. According to the Bible Knowledge Commentary, the authority rested ultimately in the hands of the centurion, because grain ships were considered to be in government service. But remember that all of this was within the will of God. Since the harbor at Fair Havens was not suitable for spending the winter because its harbor was exposed, most wanted to go on to Phoenix and spend the winter there. And you can understand, they wanted a better harbor, and they're going to end up spending several months there. Because the haven, meaning the harbor, was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenix, and there to winter, which is an haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And transitions to the next thought. Because the haven was not commodious to winter in is used in conjunction with advised, indicating cause. Its tense indicates that its action was ongoing and occurring at the same time as the action of advised. It's understood in the sense of because, since, or inasmuch as the harbor was not suitable, was unsuitable for wintering. Unsuitable has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, unsuitable or not suitable the harbor was for wintering. The more part advised to depart thence is the majority or most reached a decision to depart from there, meaning from the harbor called Fair Havens. Is the majority always right? No, here's a good example of a place where the majority was clearly wrong. But it was still within the will of God that they made a bad decision. If by any means, as if perhaps, or if somehow, they might attain to Phoenice, as they might be able to come to, meaning to reach, or to arrive at Phoenix, a port on the south coast of Crete. Now, if you look at Crete, you'll see about a third of the way across on the bottom, on the southern side of Greece, you'll have Fair Havens. And then another third of the way across, you'll find Phoenix. They aren't trying to go too far, but there they are. And there to winter, simply to winter, which is in Haven of Crete and lieth toward the southwest and northwest, describes Phoenix. It is which is a port of Crete, open, meaning looking, or looking in the direction or facing toward the southwest and toward the northwest. But in verses 13 through the end of the chapter, we see that they were blown past Crete and Clauda and across Adria all the way to Melita. Now, Melita is not the name that we would know it by, but we'll get to that, Malta. When the wind from the south was gentle, they thought they could make it safely to Phoenix. Why do you suppose the wind was gentle all of a sudden? It was within the will of God. God was going to wreck this ship, going to teach these people some things they needed to learn, that he was in control. Maybe some of them would actually get saved as a result of their experience. We don't really know. But anyway, when the south wind blew softly, supposing they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. They kept close to the shore. And transitions to the next thought. When the south wind blew softly, it's used in conjunction with sailed, indicating time or cause. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of sailed. If showing time, it's understood in the sense of after the south or southwest wind began blowing gently. If showing cause, it's understood in the sense of because the south or southwest wind began blowing gently. Supposing that they had attained their purposes, used in conjunction with sailed, indicating cause or effect in addition to sailed, and its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of sailed. If showing cause, it's understood in the sense of because, since, inasmuch as, or in view of the fact that they supposed, or they thought, or they believed, or they considered that they had attained the purpose. Loosing thence is understood in the sense of weighing anchor or departing. It's used in conjunction with sailed, indicating time or effect in addition to sailed, and its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of sailed. If showing time, it's understood in the sense of after they weighed, meaning after they lifted up or after they took up anchor, or in the sense of after they departed. If showing effect in addition to sailed, it's understood in the sense of they weighed, they lifted up, or they took up anchor, and they departed and sailed close by Crete. They coasted along Crete, or they sailed near the shore of Crete. All of a sudden, the gentle wind from the south changed directions, and it wasn't so gentle. They soon encountered a strong wind which blew them out to sea. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. But transitions to what happened next in the saints of then. I wonder when they began thinking we should have listened to Paul. Or maybe they still thought they could do it. Not long after is simply with not much and means with not much time. It's understood in the sense of soon afterward. There arose against it a tempestuous wind, a wind like a whirlwind, a typhoon or hurricane, rushed down from it, meaning from Crete. Rushed down speaks of moving down suddenly and rapidly. The mountains in Crete are more than 7,000 feet in elevation. So from 7,000 down to sea level, the wind would come down and get moving fast. It was particularly the wind called Euroclydon, which is a wind that stirs up broad waves. They were sailing from Fair Havens to Phoenix, which was on the southern coast of Crete, when, within the will of God, This violent wind blew them out to sea and away from Crete. God had them right where he wanted them. Isn't that an interesting thought? Where are you right now in your life? Is it right where God wants you? Doesn't matter what you're going through. Some of you might be going through some difficult times. Just remember, if you've been living for the Lord, God has you right where he wants you. Why? Probably to teach you something you need to learn. I don't know why. Maybe it's somebody he wants you to witness to. I don't know why. It might be a bunch of reasons. But God had Paul and all 275 of these other people right where he wanted them at this time. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And transitions to what happened next in the sense of now or then or so. When the ship was caught, it's used in conjunction with the word translated drive, indicating time or cause, and its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of the word translated drive. It's been translated as indicating time, and it's understood in the sense of after the ship was caught, meaning seized or torn away by the wind. If showing cause, it's understood in the sense of because the ship was caught, because the ship was seized, or because the ship was torn away by the wind and could not bear up into the wind, was not able to look directly at or to face the wind, which means that it was not able to have its bow headed against the force of the waves. It's used in conjunction with the word translated drive, indicating time or cause, and its tense indicates that its action was ongoing and occurring at the same time as the action of the word translated drive. It's been translated as indicating time. It's understood in the sense of while it was not able to look directly at or to face the wind. If showing cause, it's understood in the sense of because it was not able to look directly at or to face the wind. We let her drive is the translation of two words, one of which is used in conjunction with a verb indicating a fact in addition to the verb. It means having given up, having given over, or having surrendered, the second word of the verb, which means we were driven, is the verb, meaning we were driven. Together their meaning is we gave up. We gave over or we surrendered to the wind and let ourselves be driven. So here they are being blown all around the Mediterranean and or the Adriatic seas. They merge there. We refers to the sailors in charge of the ship. No matter what would happen or how long it would take, Paul was in the will of God and would eventually testify about Jesus in Rome, and Paul knew this. We remind ourselves of what the Lord told him in Acts 23:11. The night following, the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." Do you suppose there were a couple of times during this part of the voyage that Paul reminded the Lord, "Lord, you remember that I'm supposed to testify about you in Rome. How am I going to get there if you let me die out here?" I'm sure the thought crossed his mind, okay? While being driven on the lee side of Clauda, that's on the side protected by the wind, protected from the wind, they were able through much though with much difficulty, to get the lifeboat on board. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. There are two boats here, not just one. And continues the thought, of the ship being caught in the hurricane. Running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, is used in conjunction with the word had, indicating a fact in addition to had, or time, and its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of had. If showing a fact in addition to had, it's understood in the sense of we ran under or we sailed under, meaning the lee of or the shelter of a certain little or small island called Clauda, a small island south of Crete. If showing time, it's understood in the sense of after we ran under or after we sailed under the lee or the shelter of a certain little or small island called Clauda. A certain island has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads, and a certain small island we sailed under the lee of, or we sailed under the shelter of, called Clauda. This island would have provided them with some protection from the wind and the waves, but not a lot of protection. Clauda is a small island located in the Mediterranean Sea, about 30 miles south of Crete. We had much work to come by the boat, where we refers to those on board the ship. With difficulty, we were able to obtain control of, to obtain power over, or to obtain command of the boat, meaning to get the boat under control or to secure the boat. The boat refers to the small boat, the skiff, the ship's boat, or the dinghy. It's the ship's lifeboat, which was ordinarily towed behind the ship. Wonder how many people you could get on that lifeboat. Not all 275 of them, I'm sure that would have caused it to sink. It's the same boat in which the sailors would attempt to escape in verse 30. So they got the boat, the little boat, on top of the big boat. The sailors then used cables to undergird the ship, which when they had taken up, they took up the boat, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. Which, of course, as I've said, refers to the small boat in verse 16. When they had taken up is used in conjunction with used, indicating time, and its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of used. It's understood in the sense of after they took up, meaning after they picked up or after they took on board. They used helps. They were making use of, or they were employing, supports or possibly cables. Helps has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, and helps, meaning supports or cables they were using, making use of, or employing. Undergirding the ship is used in conjunction with used, indicating a fact in addition to used, or the manner by which they used helps. Its tense indicates that its action was ongoing and occurring at the same time as the action of used. If showing a fact in addition to used, it's understood in the sense of and they were undergirding, or and they were bracing the ship. If showing the manner by which they used helps, it's understood in the sense of by undergirding or by bracing the ship. This was done by putting cables around the outside of the hull to give the ship greater firmness in a heavy sea. Now, in my own mind, in the middle of a storm, how would you get these cables around the outside of the hull? I have no clue about that. If you've got a good idea, share it with me. But I don't see how they might have done that without getting swept away. Did they do it without getting in the water? Or did they have to get in the water? I don't know. I just don't know. So help me out with that one if you can. And fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands. Oh, quicksands. It's used in conjunction with word driven, indicating cause. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of word driven. It's understood in the sense of because they were fearing lest they might run aground on the Syrtis, the name of two gulfs along the Libyan coast, which, because of their shallowness and shifting sandbanks, were greatly feared by mariners. They strake sail. It's used in conjunction with were driven, indicating time, or a fact in addition to were driven. Its tense indicates that this action occurred before the action of were driven. If showing time, it's understood in the sense of after they struck sail, which means after they lowered the sails, or at least after they lowered the main sail. If showing a fact in addition to were driven, it suggests they lowered the sails, or at least they lowered the mainsail. Now, there's another possible meaning of this. It may instead that they lowered a sea anchor, which would slow them down, supposedly. And so were driven, meaning, and so or thus, or in this manner, were being driven. All of this is on the first day of the storm. On the second day of the storm, remember now, it's going to be 14 days that the storm goes on before they get off this boat. On the second day of the storm, they threw some of the cargo overboard. And being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. If it sat higher in the water, it may survive longer. And transition to what happened on the next day. We being exceedingly tossed with a tempest is used in conjunction with lightened, indicating cause, and its tense indicates that its action was ongoing and occurring at the same time as the action of lightened. It's understood in the sense of because we were exceedingly tossed with a tempest. Exceedingly suggests greatly or violently. Being tossed, we were being tossed in a storm. We includes Paul, Luke, Aristarchus, and everyone else on board the ship. The next day is on the day after they were swept out to sea by the hurricane. They lightened the ship. They were making a jettison. It means they were throwing the ship's cargo overboard to save the ship in the storm. They is likely the ship's crew and perhaps some of the passengers. Jettison has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally a jettison they were making. Remember, this is going to go on 14 days. We're just getting started. On the third day of the storm, they threw some of the ship's gear overboard. They still had 11 more days to go. We cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. Does we include Paul, Luke, Aristarchus, and at least some of the rest of the people on the ship? It is with our own hands we threw out or threw overboard the ship's gear, meaning the ship's equipment. And it's referring to equipment belonging to the ship that can be dispensed with our own hands, and the tackling of the ship have been placed in positions of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, with our own hands, the equipment of the ship we threw out. After not seeing the sun or stars for many days, how many is many? We don't know, but it's fewer than 14. All hope that they would be saved was gone. They expected to die. In spite of what seemed to be a hopeless situation, it seemed to them to be a hopeless situation, God never lost control of what the ship and its passengers were experiencing. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. And transitions to the situation after a number of days had passed in the sense of then or now. When neither sun nor stars in many days appeared is used in conjunction with was taken away, indicating time or cause. The number of days constituting many days is unknown, but verse 27 mentions the 14th night of their experiencing this storm. Its tense indicates that its action was ongoing and occurring at the same time as the action of was taken away, and it's been translated as indicating time. Thunder stood in the sense of while neither sun nor stars were appearing for many days. If showing cause, it's understood in the sense of because neither sun nor stars were appearing for many days. If there was no ability to see the sun or stars, there would have been no ability to tell where they were or which direction they were going. Navigation was done by getting their bearings from the stars. And no small tempest lay on us. It's used in conjunction with was taken away, indicating time or cause. Its tense indicates ongoing action occurring at the same time as the action of was taken away. And it's been translated as indicating time in the sense of while no small storm was lying us, which means while a big storm was lying on us. If showing cause, it's understood in the sense of because no small storm was lying on us, or because a big storm was lying on us. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away, where we includes Luke. It's all hope in order that we be saved from then on or in the future was taken away. Then, from then on or in the future, has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, from then on, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. It was expected that everyone on board the ship would die in this storm. At the same time, Jesus had told Paul that he would bear witness of him in Rome, and he'd not yet gotten to Rome. However, there were 275 others on board the ship who had not been promised that they would live and eventually get to Rome. While we imagine what these people were experiencing, I sincerely hope that none of you are becoming seasick. After much lack of appetite, Paul reminded everyone that they should have listened to him. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss." But transitions to what happened next in the sense of then, now, or and. After long abstinence is used in conjunction with said, indicating time. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of said, and it suggests after there was much lack of appetite. Why would there be such a lack of appetite? Probably because of seasickness, due to the tossing of the ship by the storm. A word appears in the Greek text which was not translated into the English, which means then or at that time. Paul said, he stood forth in the midst of them, indicating a fact in addition to said or time. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of said, and it's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to said, but if showing time, it's understood in the sense of after he stood in their midst. Paul said, indicates that Paul addressed the people who were in charge. And what he said was, "Sirs," meaning, "O men, ye should have hearkened unto me when, and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss." Very clearly it means you should have, or you ought to have followed my advice and not to have put out to sea from Crete to gain this hardship, to have spared yourselves or to have avoided this hardship, this disaster or this damage and loss. As we can see, Paul was having quite an experience. I know I've never had one like this, and if it's all right, I'd just as soon not have one like this. Yet in spite of the fact that he was going through this tremendous storm, we remind ourselves and realize that God had him right where he wanted him. And we can learn from this that when we are where we are supposed to be and doing what we are supposed to be doing, we need not fear. God can and will deliver us. Whether it's through the end of the storm or to heaven, whichever he chooses. Now, don't be afraid of the second possibility. Going to heaven isn't bad, okay? It actually would be a delight, wouldn't it, after you've been through a few difficulties in your life. Well, I trust you'll get through this. We still have a week to go on it. Next week, we have a Father's Day message, so we will not touch this again, Lord willing, at that time. But 2 weeks from today, we're going to get Paul shipwrecked on an island called Malta. We've heard of it. It'll be an interesting time. Trust that it's been helpful to you today. I know it's long, but God's got you right where he wants you, right? In this long, long message. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for the privilege we have of studying thy word, and help us to understand it. Help us to realize that you're always in control of everything, including our lives. I pray that you'll bless these dear people in Jesus' name. Amen.